98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly Blast.
From Amari Stoudemire to Anquan Boldin, Arizona has seen its share of impact rookies. But we have never seen a rookie rising like Rosen, a kid who has made quite an impact in his first week as a professional athlete. We've already heard a lot of prominent NFL types predict he'll be the team's starting quarterback sometime in 2018. We've heard others say he's going to be the team starter in week one against Kirk Cousins and the Redskins, the quarterback the Cardinals first attempted to sign. And he's gone a long way in shattering a lot of unflattering perceptions. Rosen, as we've learned from Ken Summers, wanted to blow off the NFL rookie premiere in Beverly Hills, a cushy paid-for vacation, just to stay in Tempe and practice. He wasn't allowed, but that gesture speaks volumes about his focus, his commitment, and the immediate opportunity he sees right in front of him. We all knew this was going to be fun, but did any of us think it'd be this fun this quickly? The Cardinals' decision to ease Sam Bradford's early workload to ensure his health might have actually opened a door for Bradford to lose his starting job. Now, nobody really expects that to happen, do you? But then again, did anyone expect Rosen to come in and hear comparisons to Tom Brady? I think not. All right, back half of our Friday show. We need to have some fun, man. Come on, it's Friday. Where's our Phil Anselmo? Come on, Jarrett, get me a rock star.
By the way, you heard this, right?
What?
So I'm listening this morning. Actually, I get a heads up. Doug Franz comes out, and he's like, Vince, you got to be listening to this next segment. So it's 8:30. So they're coming back with the Pantera call-out. And Wolf is doing it, and I was like, all right, why does Doug want me to listen? Is Wolf going to call me out? And I'm like, when I heard that it wasn't me, I was very glad. He was called here. He called out Doug for having a mystery guest on the scheduled on the phone. Had no idea who it was. And then soon after, found out who it was.
So for those of you that have been longtime listeners, you know, we did that one time, you know, fired Pantera, and all of a sudden Wolf interrupted it and called out a sports figure. I don't even remember who the first ever Pantera call out was.
Yeah, nor do I.
You called out somebody, and then it became a tradition because you would just be weird and call out people out of nowhere just that we like never expected. And yet one thing that's strange is out of all these years now, 10, 11 years, you've never actually called out Pantera themselves.
No.
Yeah.
Don't tell me Phil's on the phone.
So we called Phil, and we asked Phil to listen in to his first ever Pantera call-out. And right now, Phil...
Oh, no!
The lead singer of Pantera, Phil and Selma. Phil, I got to ask, what did you think? Do you think Wolf butchered everything, or were you impressed?
I loved every second of it. Hey, Wolf, man, great job, brother.
All right, at this point in time, I was consumed with jealousy. I wanted to call in and make sure I could get some questions in. The guy's got to know, though, man, Pantera disbanded in 2003. Just so you know. Dimebag Darrell, their great guitar player, was shot on stage a year later. Vince Abbott, their drummer and Dimebag's brother, I don't think has talked to Phil Anselmo since. There was so much I wanted to ask that guy. But that was a great moment for them.
All right, I will hook you up with some rock stars
coming up.
All right,
I promise. That.
We've had some on.
Hey, this is Paul Stanley.
And this is Gene Simmons from Kiss.
That day, you did the impression of Greg Gass.
Hey, yeah!
Oh, that way. Yeah, we had James Hetfield on the program. Yeah? We've had Lars Ulrich on the program. Right?
Ulrich.
Whatever. Whatever.
Man, you're a fountain of knowledge when it comes to Pantera.
Well,
I had no idea.
Well, okay. If you pay attention to guitar players, Dimebag Darrell was, you know, one of the marquee guys.
Yeah.
And
he was transcendent like your monkey.
Well, And basically what happened is Pantera split up basically because of Phil Anselmo. And then Dimebag Darrell went out and started playing these small clubs, and he was murdered on stage.
Yeah, it was terrible.
It was terrible. So a lot of people kind of like put that together. Like, you know, had Pantera never broken up, then a guitar player like him would have never been playing in a club like that and whatever. But I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that I heard the former lead singer of Pantera, joining Wolf.
And that was, Wolf said it was a very rare geek out moment for him.
Oh, yeah. And you've had your geek out moment.
I've had a couple of, I mentioned the Dave Kahan from Depeche Mode moment. I got an opportunity early on in my radio career to interview Vin Scully over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I was really nervous for that. The in-person encounters.
Paul Goldschmidt.
Jennifer Garner at the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You dug that.
Marissa Miller, the model at the Super Bowl. She just made me feel funny.
Yeah, why are these all beautiful women?
I didn't know exactly. It was my last day at a radio station. We were broadcasting from Radio Row when the Super Bowl was in Glendale.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked out during a commercial break. And I walked by this woman, and I thought to myself, that's one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my life. And then I walk, I think I got a soda or something. I'm coming back in with my soda, and I sit down, and said woman is walking right over to our broadcast location.
Yeah.
She comes right over to me and extends her hand and says, hey, I'm Marissa Miller. I'm coming on your show. And I was like,
I love you. I love you.
She made me feel like she's like a different species. That woman.
A different species.
Yeah.
Ralph Macchio.
That's
right.
That
was a bit of a geek out moment. By the way, I'm like 7 episodes into Cobra Kai now. Awesome. It's so good.
Are you serious?
If you love The Karate Kid, you have to watch this show.
All right. Okay. I'll do that.
It was well worth the 30-year wait because all the sequels to that movie sucked.
Yeah.
So finally, a fitting follow-up to The Karate Kid.
That is outstanding. Good deal.
No geek out moments for you?
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. No, I've had a few. I remember once, and I had, well, it wasn't one for me. It would have been for you. I had Adam Sandler sit down across from me during a Super Bowl. And, okay, with all due respect.
He probably wasn't all that into it, was he?
No.
What was he promoting? Do you remember?
I don't. But I don't think he even looked at me during the interview.
That might not be, you know, just specific to you.
No, it might not be.
He wasn't into it. He's kind of a,
yeah.
I don't know, he doesn't seem like a real eye contact kind of guy.
Yeah. There was a time when the two guitar players from the Scorpions dropped in to a radio studio unannounced. And now that was a geek out moment for me. That was crazy. That was outstanding. So, yeah, so Jarrett, you're on notice, man. If the morning show can get Phil Anselmo, you need to just step your game up.
All right, you got it. I'll get you. Give me a list of your 5 superstar rock stars.
Why don't you do something for once? I don't want to give you a list. Surprise
what
me.
What if he books, like, the bass player from Ace of Base?
The Ace of Base player.
Right, I'll pass on that. Exactly. Robert Plant, dude. Pull that off for me.
Yeah, that'll be a good one.
Brian Johnson from AC/DC. You can get him. I can get you to a guy who can get him.
Okay.
But then you got to get him.
I will do it. I promise.
Yeah.
Right. Also, before you move on, Luka Doncic, possible number one pick, has just started playing his Euro Championship game.
Is it live?
It is. Yeah, it's live.
As I set up the DVR, it wasn't supposed to be on live.
I guess maybe they changed their mind. They're showing it live now.
Wow.
When we get into the discussion, can you change one of these TVs?
We tried to do that. And
yeah.
Only, as far as I could tell, one of the 4 TVs works in there.
Right.
Well, 2 of them are working, and one of them is on Ion television.
Right. That one can't be changed.
Which never shows any sports, so I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
All right, and
we just tried to change it, but we'll try again.
Okay.
Before we move on, I want to say one last thing about this Luka Doncic thing with the Final Four EuroLeague thing going on. This is one of the few things, competitive events, that might change minorly the perception of all these guys at the top end of the draft.
Yeah, I mean, if Doncic leads his team, Real Madrid, to the title this weekend, and he puts up spectacular numbers and is dominant in doing so, that could definitely, that could sway the top of the draft more than anything,
right,
in my opinion.
Right.
So, interesting to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, and we'll get into him later on. So we'll just stop with that right now. Okay, Josh Rosen, subject of the blast again.
How many times is that?
4 or 5 already. But is it a stretch? No, because there is this nonstop cycle of really interesting news that keeps coming forth from this young man. If it wasn't this growing buffet of testimonials from NFL people who believe he is going to take over this team here and now, to somebody who compared him to Tom Brady very recently, this decision by Josh Rosen to try to eject himself from the NFL rookie premiere so he could stay practicing football.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great gesture.
It is. I don't understand why it's not in the CBA, first of all, but there is a penalty. You don't have to go to this rookie premiere if you don't want to, which is an opportunity to hobnob with national sponsors, marketing people, things like that. So it is an opportunity for the young players, yes. You're not required to go. But if you don't go, you can't participate in OTAs with your team. Thus, at least for a day, stunting your growth.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's right.
Yesterday was the last day of practice. Josh Rosen wasn't on the practice field because of this. It's a long weekend. They'll get back at it on Tuesday for OTAs week two, and we'll be out there again. I just don't see why a team and a player should be penalized for the player wanting to participate in his team's practices.
Yeah.
It's also like the rule academically, there are schools in place where if their term goes long, they have to complete their course study, before they can, or graduate with their class before they can actually, seriously? They can't be professionals. They can't start their job out of college before that.
Yeah.
There's some weird rules in place.
No, you're right about that. But here's what I think, two things. The more and more Josh Rosen debunks a lot of these perceptions that people had, the more and more people are going to believe that he was just viciously slandered.
Mm-hmm.
And picked apart unfairly. And people are going to gravitate to him because of that. He's going to go from a polarizing athlete to a guy who looks something like a victim of this whole process. And that's a good thing for Josh Rosen because he's never felt that in his life. Now, maybe this is a new leaf for him, or maybe people have just really typecast him all along. Number two, and I say this all the time, and I'm not going to direct this to Sam Bradford or Mike Glennon, because Sam Bradford, unlike Ben Roethlisberger, unlike Joe Flacco, at least reached out to Josh Rosen after he was drafted and say, congrats, dude.
Yeah.
I'm here for you if you need me.
That's the way you do it.
Okay. Now, in this situation, take the names out of it. Is it possible that a player could do something like Josh Rosen just did and have his teammates in the quarterback room going, all right, really? First he's texting Patrick Peterson 10 times. Now he's putting this out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The naked ambition of a newcomer never goes over well with incumbents, vets, jaded, cynical, skeptical. I'm not applying this to the Cardinals, mm-hmm. but I'm saying theoretically it happens all the time.
Yeah, before we move on from this, we mentioned the geek out moments before, and you know, who's listening? Dave Pasch, voice of the Arizona Cardinals and ESPN, was listening. Dave, you got a geek out moment to share with us?
I do. First of all, I apologize for disrupting your show, but I have nothing to do. I've been off for 10 days and don't know what to do with myself. So I drive around in circles listening to your show. I was actually going somewhere and I stopped. But so you guys were talking about, first of all, I have to say that Wolf's show is my favorite, but I'm really enjoying the 4 hours that you guys do together.
Well, thank you, Dave.
So this morning, a friend of mine in Syracuse, I work with in Syracuse, has a radio show, and his broadcast partner is Daniel Baldwin, one of the Baldwin brothers. So they had me on his show today, and we start talking about the NBA playoffs, and then we get into Josh Rosen. And I said, I think Josh Rosen will be the steal of the draft. So already, I'm like jacked. I'm talking to Daniel Baldwin. And he goes, well, hold on. One of my brothers just called in. And it was Alec. So Alec Baldwin gets on. And he says, I agree with you about Josh Rosen being the steal of the draft. And then we started talking about Eli Manning. But I guess my point was a total geek out moment with both the Baldwin brothers. I was really, Stevens. The man, though, I was kind of hoping he was going to be the brother that called in, but it was Alec. But anyway, I find it interesting that, you know, you've got Hollywood actors talking about Josh Rosen. It kind of reminded me of Leinart a little bit with the buzz that he's creating, but I think it's legitimate buzz because I keep hearing, I haven't been in minicamp, but I've talked to a bunch of people in the organization, they're totally jacked about this kid.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah. And to your point, Dave, Bick brought it up earlier, kind of in passing and kind of a shot at Matt Leinart. He said, do you think Matt Leinart would pass up an opportunity to go to a Beverly Hills resort to hobnob with marketing people?
He would ask for additional passes. You know what I mean?
I got a plus one.
Hey, can I get a plus five? I got to bring Turtle and, yeah, all those guys.
And I got to rewind a second, too, on something you just said, Dave. That Stephen Baldwin would be your true Baldwin geek out moment, not Alec?
Absolutely. I said, if you get Steven on the next time I come on, said nothing against the two of you guys, but if you can get Steven on, I'll stand for it. They had me on for a half hour. I literally had to hang up. I said, I got to take the kids to school. But I said, if you get Steven on, I will be on for the entire hour.
That's outstanding. And I cannot believe that they were that into Josh Rosen. It shows you the reach of this kid. And do you agree with me that the more and more we learn about him and more he does things like want to stay practicing instead of going to this, you know, thing in Beverly Hills, that the more people are going to go, this kid was picked apart viciously and maybe unfairly. And he's going to feel some love that he's probably never felt in some time.
Well, I was one of them that picked him apart based on some of the things that I had heard, and never because of his talent, but just some of the stuff you heard doing UCLA games and, you know, doing games in the, quote, Conference of Champions. But, you know, in talking to people inside the organization and then talking to other people that I respect in college football that, you know, our guys that analyze the game and analyze the quarterback position. You know, I always thought that he was the most ready quarterback coming in. But now, and I know you don't want to get carried away in May, but just all the things you're hearing about him with his accuracy, his command, his poise, his understanding of what he's seeing, those are the things you can't teach. And that, I think, is what's exciting because he's got things that most quarterbacks coming in, I mean, look, compared to Baker Mayfield, right?
Mm-hmm.
The measurables for Baker Mayfield are of a guy that's a late-round pick, in my opinion. Clearly, he was drafted number one because they saw some intangibles in him, and there were other teams, including the Cardinals, that liked him, or some people in the Cardinals liked him. But I think the difference is there are things with Rosen in terms of ability that you can't teach, and that's why I'm excited about him.
Yeah, and to your point on Baker Mayfield, we're talking to Dave Pasch, the voice of the Cardinals. You can also hear him on ESPN. He called in on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line. The point on Baker Mayfield, and you can kind of put Rosen and him in the same category in this draft class, Dave, in terms of very high-profile guys who do and say controversial things. Rosen was picked apart. Mayfield was picked apart, but kind of absolved because he won. I think a reason why Josh Rosen is so critiqued for what he says and does is because in 3 years, UCLA didn't really win anything. That's not all his fault. In fact, their head coach during that time no longer has a job because of it. I think that's my theory on the whole thing.
Well, look, there's no question, you know, Jim Moore, I know he's come out and said that, you know, he's been very supportive. But look, behind closed doors, you know, there were several people that he told, you know, that, In fact, one person I know he told said he would have drafted Darnold instead.
Oh, yeah.
I think he was telling somebody to draft Darnold. So, you know, clearly he didn't like him. There were some other coaches that didn't like him. And then I heard there were some players in the league, but then you hear other people say that there were some players that absolutely loved him. So, you know, some of this stuff, and we're all guilty of it, we jump onto this, and, you know, that's why I think, you know, most really good organizations, they vet and they go through all of their stuff. I know Rick Spielman really well, the GM of the Vikings, worked with his brother, Chris, for a long time. And I know Rick has a system where he puts guys in a box. Like, they do so much vetting. They say, you know what, this guy, we're putting him in a box. In other words, no matter what happens, we're not taking him. And I respect that. I think that's one of the reasons they built their organization the way it is. And I think the Cardinals do it similarly. They may not call it that, but they have guys that they just say, you know, we're not going to draft him no matter what. Mm-hmm. And then there's other guys that, you know, there may be some red flags, but, you know, it's not enough where you're willing to say, you know, we at some point you have to overlook that for the talent if you think that those red flags are because he's either immature or circumstance, friends, whatever. I mean, I know, you know, with Robert Kimdiche, they're hoping to get Kimdiche in an environment where he's away from some of the influences that he had at Ole Miss. And I think it's safe to say he got away from those influences. Same with Tyrann Mathieu. Look how that worked out. So, and I'm not putting Rosen in that same category, but I guess my point is there were enough detractors that they said, you know, we're going to ignore that because the talent is too great.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, I'm going to ask you this conceptually because I'm thinking about this, and we're hearing so many national observers claim or predict that Josh Rosen might be the kind of kid that could take this team from week one and just roll with it. I'm curious from your vantage point, are there any inherent dangers to that, and would the Cardinals be the type of team that could really evaluate this position solely on merit and not think about Sam Bradford's signing bonus, previous experience, all of that kind of stuff?
Well, this is, you know, again, my opinion. I think Sam Bradford's the starter if he's healthy. I don't know that that's a given, though, right? I mean, we don't know. So, but I think if he's healthy, I think because Bradford has proven himself, and I think Bradford's an excellent quarterback when he's healthy. Excellent. You know, top 10. So I think if he's healthy, you've got to go with him to start. But if he's not, you know, then I think you need to seriously look at Rosen over Glennon. But, you know, ultimately, I think this really is about the health of Bradford. I think if it's, you know, if apples to apples, both guys are 100%, then I think Bradford's the guy.
All right. Switching to NBA playoffs. Is Cleveland done, and can Houston actually do this against Golden State, in your opinion?
No, I don't think Cleveland's done. I think it's just too early. I mean, if they lose, obviously, game three, they're done. But I just think with LeBron, how many times this year have we watched Cleveland play like they did in game two and say, oh, they're done, it's over, break it up, LeBron's gone. Houston, I think it'll be a lengthy series, but I just... The best player is Kevin Durant, and he's the best player in the league. And I just, you know, and you've got great players around him, including Steph Curry, and they defend. They're a very good defensive team. Houston is an okay defensive team, and so I just think the Warriors are too much.
All right, and the final question, the really tough one, Dave, and we thank you for calling in. Outside of the usual suspects, your favorite Stephen Baldwin vehicle?
I don't even know what other movies he's been in, but I could watch The Usual Suspects like 100 times.
Did you ever see Biodome?
I've heard of that. I haven't seen it.
You're not
missing
anything.
Wasn't he in a movie with Pauly Shore, too?
That was it. Yeah, Biodome.
Oh, that was it. Okay.
Yeah. You're better off just watching Usual Suspects on a loop. I agree with you.
Yeah, I hear enough about the Biosphere from Bill Walton. I don't need to see the Biodome.
Oh, yeah.
And I got
sorry to disturb the show. I'm going to go drive around and listen for a little bit before.
Outstanding.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave.
Enjoy your driving.
All right. See you guys.
Dave Pasch, voice of the Cardinals, ESPN broadcaster, joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. That's ColterTempe.com, CoulterOnCamelback.com, and CoulterNissan.com. Yeah, I pulled up Stephen Baldwin's filmography.
Yeah.
And outside of The Usual Suspects.
That's another one I haven't
you
seen.
You probably have to go with The Flintstones.
That's a big drop off.
The Flintstones
isn't it?
In Rock Vegas would probably be the
second. That's a big drop off there, Vinny. Man.
You're not kidding. Sanderson Ford and Presidential Pools are teaming up for the 10K carpool giveaway. You can win 10 grand towards the purchase of a Sanderson Ford or a Presidential Pool, or just pocket the cash. All you have to do is text carpool to 620-620 or go online to carpoolgiveaway.com. Once again, text carpool to 620-620. The debate is raging. It will continue to rage on. Doncic, Ayton, or somebody else. We'll get into the NBA draft and the prospects for the Suns next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
What are you guys talking about? What are you talking about in terms of the draft to the Cardinals? What
you saying? We've got Dave Pasch on from ESPN. He does NBA college basketball, college football for him, and he's the play-by-play guy for the Arizona Cardinals. He's on with us
today. What's up, Alec?
Right.
Hey, man. Do you think that they stole the draft?
Rosen. Yeah, Rosen. He's a great pick.
He's a franchise quarterback, and I think they're going to look back at this and say that's the steal of the draft.
I I think any concerns I have about him, you know, that you do hear from people that say, oh, everyone needs to shoot threes now in the modern NBA. That is not the case. There's still certainly a place in the league for an excellent finisher in the pick and roll like Clint Capela, or someone who can bury, you know, smaller defenders, whether it's on switches or against teams that are going small in the post. There's a place for that too, even though it's probably not, you know, the focal point of your offense as it might have been in the 90s or the early 2000s. So, you know, I think it's really going to be how good Ayton is going to be determined largely by how much he can improve defensively, because clearly that's, you know, not the strength of his game at this point.
Kevin Pelton of ESPN on with Burns and Gambo yesterday, talking about where DeAndre Ayton needs to improve. No surprise, defense needs to improve more than the offense. It's funny too, Bick, when people say, when they point out things, and I've read several scouting reports on DeAndre Ayton, they'll say he was misused at Arizona. Like, they didn't know how to use him. Jarrett said that in real time during the season. They didn't know exactly how to use him on offense, which is shocking to me. But if you look at his numbers, you would never know.
Well, they've got that big guy, Ristich, right?
Yeah.
Hanging out in the lane, which made him come out and have to do a lot of stuff on the wing, on the perimeter. And at a school like Arizona, where you have all that kind of talent, that transcendent big man just doesn't get fed the ball in a consistent manner that probably should happen.
Well, they couldn't,
that certainly was the case against Buffalo.
They couldn't get him the ball, and they literally couldn't get him the ball because their point guard is 5'2" and can't, like, you know, see over the guy guarding him.
Yeah,
they didn't have good guard play last year,
which was
at all.
Bad for point guard you.
Yeah.
And I think that also kind of is what affected that. Before we move into this, I just got to tell you something. I spent the commercial break, well, besides stuffing my face with beef jerky.
That's every commercial break.
That's a good point. Watching
single-handedly keeping the jerky industry alive.
Listen, that guy who stocks the vending machine back there, he treats me like royalty. Gee, I wonder why.
He loves the show.
He looks kind of like Gambo.
No, he loves my $1.75 that I pour in there every 5 minutes. So I'm sitting here during the commercial break, and I'm watching this video put together of the old NBA, of how physical it was. I'm telling you, we all know it, who lived it, until you see like a long video of how many fights there were in the late 80s, real early 90s.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Was that better basketball, though?
No.
It's better now,
but,
right?
But for the people who want to diminish what Michael Jordan did, you should see the way the Pistons used to abuse him. I mean, you could have sent some guys to jail for what they did.
They would be now.
They would be.
If that style of defense was employed, it would be nothing but flagrant twos.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And no, it's definitely not better. That's not basketball. It's really, really not. So
it was entertaining, though.
Yeah, if you say
and
so.
And all these teams beating up on each other with playoff intensity, that was kind of fun.
Kind of fun? Kind of cool?
And then it devolved into what the Knicks did in the mid-90s, and then basketball got really unwatchable for a while.
Yeah.
And it's back in a good place now.
Yeah.
But it's a different sport, let's be honest.
Yeah, oh, without a doubt. Okay, so let's move this on to Luka Doncic and DeAndre Ayton.
By the way, Luka Doncic playing right now. If you're setting up your DVR and you don't want to know the result, at least according to my, every other TV is on it except for the ones in the studio, by the way. Real Madrid, Luka Doncic's team, down 2 early second quarter against CSKA Moscow in the EuroLeague semifinals.
Right.
I was at my desk during the commercial break and Doncic was out of the game. Rudy Fernandez was playing, though. You remember him?
Rudy Fernandez had a lot of skill.
He did?
He really, really did.
I would not want to play horse against Rudy Fernandez.
Oh, my goodness. No, no. But this tournament here, we talk about the upcoming NBA draft and what can happen between now and then. What?
Oh, you changed the channel, but the signal's not coming in.
So what can happen between this minute and the NBA draft that could change the narrative without any real competitive events? This right here is one of them. And these two games, if Luka Doncic is the bust out star of this, and this is a tournament last year that he did not play well in at all. If he dominates this thing, then I think that could give him a little boost, if you will. Now, would it be a boost that could get him above DeAndre Ayton at some point in time? No, I don't think so. But this thing, in my opinion, even though, like I mentioned yesterday, even though we're all coming from different places, I think we all land at the same spot, that DeAndre Ayton should be the pick. I've always believed, unlike some, the gap isn't that big. It's really more a matter of what you prefer and what's the better fit for you. I watched some of DeAndre Ayton's clips recently, and the only weakness I see in his game, Vinny, is, and maybe I'm wrong about it because this is just not, you know, scouting every game, is just his handle. When he gets the ball in the post and he needs to dribble a couple of times, it's not fluid. He really struggles to just have any rhythm dribbling the ball. But everything else about him is great.
And when you told me that, my response was, I don't want my post player putting the ball on the floor at all.
I know. I understand that. But if you don't have good hands in the NBA, you're going to lose the ball quite frequently.
That is true. Now, most people are focused on Doncic and Ayton for good reason. They are the top two prospects in this class. Ryan McDonough himself, the general manager of the Suns, earlier this week on with John Bloom on the Suns postseason special here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station, said, it's not just down to two right now in this process for the Suns.
No, there's certainly more than two guys, John, and maybe not, you know, a ton more than two, but, you know, those two guys are heavily in the mix for us. But, you know, I think another Phoenician that you didn't mention, Marvin Bagley, is in the mix as well, who had a, you know, phenomenal prep career and then had an outstanding freshman season at Duke. And, you know, look, we'll work out guys like Mohamed Bamba and Jaren Jackson, Michael Porter Jr., probably some of the perimeter players as well. You know, so I said last night, and I mean it, I think we have a handful of players, and for me, a handful probably means more than five, but less than 10 guys we'd like to work out and consider. I know kind of, you know, what the mock drafts have and what the consensus says, but as you know, John, that doesn't always go according to form.
Michael Porter Jr. is a name that is interesting. You know, Casey Jacobson talked about him earlier in the week with Burns and Gambo. Jay Billis joined us earlier in the week on the subject of Michael Porter Jr. and talked about, you know, what he thinks of his game.
The guy that I think is the most interesting player in the draft is Michael Porter Jr. from Missouri, because he's got all the measurables and skills, and he can, you know, really good shooter and can shoot it on the move, good pull-up shooter. If he had come right out of high school, I think he would have been a top two pick or maybe top three. But, you know, having the injury, the fact that you didn't see him all year, and then when you did see him, he came back and he wasn't, I don't think, ready physically to really be what he's capable of being, and he didn't look as good. You know, when is the right time to pull the trigger on him? You know, when is the risk worth the potential reward? You know, you might not take him in the top three, but do you say, okay, well, five, we're not going to get anybody better. It's worth the chance. And, you know, if the doctors pass on him and there are no red flags in the medical, he could wind up being a real value pick in the draft.
Michael Porter Jr., while sitting down with Adrian Wojnarowski and Jay Billis at the Combine yesterday, said this.
I understand that there is some risk with teams don't know how I'm feeling, but I believe I'm the best player in the draft, yes.
And again, most players at the top of the draft are going to feel that way. Here's Michael Porter Jr. talking about his skill set.
The way the league's headed, those positionless players, you know, tall wing players that can dribble the ball, I really feel like I could play 1-4 and feeling the way I do now, guard 1-4. So, you know, I'm feeling great, and that's just how I feel.
Now, if Michael Porter Jr. he played very sparingly early in the season, went on the shelf, had the surgery, came back for the postseason, didn't play all that well. I think there was some rust involved, and Missouri didn't do that well. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't come back at the end of the year, I understand a lot of the concerns about his health. He did come back. He's working out willingly in Chicago. If 53 minutes of college basketball, it's nothing. You can't gauge anything from that, especially when it was right before an injury and then a big gap, and then most of those minutes after an injury.
Yeah.
But I don't – we've seen so many cases of guys who didn't play that much in college. It didn't hurt their status going into the draft. Kyrie Irving was hurt most of his 1 year at Duke.
All right.
Number one overall.
I remember
pick.
That. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's others. I mean, Luka Doncic will never have played college basketball. Now, he's playing against competition that's probably better than college basketball.
Yep.
In a lot of cases, by playing with Real Madrid. Michael Porter Jr. is intriguing. Marvin Bagley III, you know, to hear Ryan McDonough say it, yeah, he could be in the mix.
Yeah.
With the measurables that Mohamed Bamba put up yesterday, that wingspan, That's ridiculous. That's the makings of a complete game changer defensively.
Yeah. And didn't you have stats on how many shots he blocked at Texas?
Yeah.
It was 3.7
a game. He had 20 games in one season of more than four or more block shots.
That's pretty significant. But to me, man, you can mention all these guys, and I appreciate them bringing these guys in. But to me, there's a top two, there's a second tier of two players, and then everybody else kind of falls below.
Yeah.
I don't think this pick goes anywhere beyond Ayton or Doncic. My opinion.
Coming up, Paul Goldschmidt. You think he's in a slump? Wait till you hear about the slump a former Diamondback is in. It'll make you feel better about Goldie. We'll tell you about that next. It's Bickley and Marotta live from the Auction Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The way too late.
Too late!
Movie review.
Too late!
So this is going to happen, huh?
Yeah, why not, Vinny?
The Way Too Late movie review. During the course of doing this show, which we started in 2013, so we are now in our sixth year.
You gotta be kidding me.
Hasn't that flown by? Time is like just an out-of-control roller coaster.
Wow,
right now.
Mind trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It is an out-of-control roller coaster.
We talk about movies on the show a lot. You've admonished me for some of the movies I have and haven't seen.
And you guys have been appalled at some of the ones I have not seen.
That is true. So we came up with this idea that, first, to encourage us to see these movies that should be required viewing.
Yeah.
To do a movie review, even if the movie's like 40 years old.
Yeah.
To do your own personal movie review of.
Yeah.
Are you down with this?
I love that idea.
If we give you
I love that idea because it would give us the weekend to each kind of do and watch a movie that should have already been in our portfolio.
Have you put this online, Jarrett?
I'm about to put the poll out of which movie you should watch and which movie Dan should watch. These are both going to be a collection of classic movies that they have not seen.
What are the choices for me?
Your choices are The Godfather.
Okay.
The original The Matrix, Jurassic Park, and A Fish Called Wanda.
Okay. And I vote for the last one. That's the one that I want Vinny to see first.
For Dan, it is Fletch, The Big Lebowski, The Usual Suspects, and I don't have a fourth one, but I'm going to say Big Daddy. Did you ever see that?
I think the one I want to see out of that is because sparked on that conversation with Dave Pesh is The Usual Suspects.
All right, we'll see.
That's what I'd like to see.
You haven't seen that.
There we go. This is a good place to start.
Yeah. So we'll let listeners determine which movie. Dude, I gotta dig up my DVD collection.
Or we can let the listeners vote, but I would rather it just kind of be you task me with one and I task you with one. Now, do we want to get that yo-yo involved?
I don't know what Jarrett hasn't seen.
I don't. I've seen a lot of movies. I haven't seen every movie ever made.
The lack of movies, the movies that you haven't seen, don't come up in discussion much on the show. So
right.
I don't know. I got no frame
you're
of
right.
reference.
You know what movie I've never seen is It's a Wonderful Life. That comes up every Christmas.
Zuzu's Petals.
I'll try to think of other ones. I'm gonna put it on Twitter, and we'll see what happens.
My mouth's bleeding.
All right.
You might get to choose what you want anyway, but I'm just gonna put it on Twitter.
All right. Paul Goldschmidt is mired in a slump. So we'll kick that off next week. We'll task ourselves. We'll give ourselves some homework on the way too late movie review, and then we'll have some results next week.
Sounds good.
Looking forward to this.
Perfect.
Paul Goldschmidt mired in a slump. We think we know what is going to snap him out of the slump, and that was his Saturday Night Live travel costume where he played Gene from Blue Oyster Cult, the cowbell guy. You always need more cowbell.
Always.
The only prescription is more cowbell. Paul Goldschmidt has not been great lately. The Diamondbacks offense hasn't been great lately. One of the most talked about players in the first month of the season was Didi Gregorius, the former Diamondback, who's now with the New York Yankees. He was the first month MVP, probably, of the American League. He was unbelievable. Have you seen the slump he is in?
Tell me about it.
In the month of May, Didi Gregorius of the New York Yankees is 1-for-38. This was after hitting, I got to find his splits here. Let's see. In April, March and April, he hit .327 with 10 home runs and 30 runs batted in. Had an OPS of 1156. In May, he is, 6 for 51. But over his last 38 at-bats, he has one hit. Oof. He's hitting 118 for the month and an OPS of 324.
Mm-hmm.
And now, Didi Gregorius doesn't have the same level of respect around baseball. Yes, he had a good year last year and has been really good for the Yankees now for two years.
Yeah.
But he's not in that same echelon as Paul Goldschmidt. But the slump, man, his batting average is all the way down to 255 after this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and that's a huge, but you know what? I think that when Didi was doing that, did anybody think that he had reached that level of greatness? I didn't. I mean, I knew that kid was talented.
Not so much last year, but the first month this season, people were raving about him. Like, Derek Jeter who?
Yeah.
Not just yet.
I would say that if it's true that misery loves company, Paul Goldschmidt's got good company. He's not the only big name struggling. Anthony Rizzo is struggling mightily.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if Anthony Rizzo has the same profile as Paul Goldschmidt.
Probably
not that far off.
Nationally, probably more popular.
Okay. And both of them have top five finishes in the MVP race. Rizzo's 28, Goldie's 30. So, you know, it's not unusual, but I think that the impact of Goldie's slump is the big issue here. It's because when Goldie broke apart at the end of last year, it didn't matter because JD Martinez just took it and ran with it. And he's apparently still running.
Yeah.
I mean, what he's doing in Boston now is insanity. Okay. It's because what Goldschmidt isn't doing is so negatively affecting the team, not just from a statistical standpoint, but just from a psychological standpoint. They need that guy to be that guy so they can feel like they've got that guy.
Yeah, because if Paul Goldschmidt comes out tonight and has three hits and is spraying the ball all over, maybe has a home run, it lifts a weight not only off his shoulders, I think off everybody's shoulders.
Everybody.
When I'm struggling and I look to my leader and he's struggling, if I see him do well, I'm going to be more relaxed.
That's right. That's exactly
right. Well, Jake Lamb coming back has got to help that, right?
You would think.
It depends. Is he coming back full throttle? Is going to take him a while to get rolling? It's got to help.
I mean, back in the lineup hitting third tonight against the Mets, is that correct? We don't have much to base. Jake Lamb played four games before he went on the shelf.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It can't hurt, especially where they are now. I mean, this offense can't get worse, can it?
Scott Howard tweeted out, hopefully Jake Lamb has been properly quarantined from the rest of the D-backs offense and is ready to hit a baseball.
Yeah, good point.
Isn't that good?
Quarantine might be good. So we've talked about Didi Gregorius, current Yankee. Former Yankee Robinson Cano got popped for PEDs, 80-game suspension. He's now with the Seattle Mariners. Mark Teixeira, who's now a media member, baseball analyst, was a teammate of Robinson Cano's with the Yankees for quite some time. They played 5 years together. Mark Teixeira went on 98.7 ESPN in New York on the Michael Kay Show and said this about Robinson Cano.
A, are you surprised? B, can you ever eliminate anybody and say they definitely didn't do it?
Not surprised. And B, I hope you can. I can look everybody in the eye and say I never did anything, and I probably have a few teammates that I played with that I was really close with that they never did anything, but like everyone's been saying, Michael, you just don't really know.
You don't know, but he was asked to follow up on that. Mark Teixeira did.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really want to get into too much detail, Michael. I love Robbie, I'm just not surprised. I don't really want to go too much further, but I think a lot of people are kind of saying the same thing, and Cash kind of, he had to catch himself in an interview a couple days ago, but just not surprised.
Well, what he was pointing out, Vinny, is that Robinson Cano's assistant was caught up in the whole Biogenesis scandal.
Yes.
It also popped Melky Cabrera, Alex Rodriguez, okay.
Paul O'Neill. Tino Martinez, Scott Brosius, Derek Jeter, Jorge Posada.
Thank you. I needed that. I needed that.
Give us a category, Jerry. It's Friday. Let's do what we want to do.
Yeah, well, we're out of time in this segment.
Yeah, we're out of time.
Let's do it next hour. Let's do what we want to do. I totally agree with you. Let's do it.
But basically by saying you're not surprised, and I know the connection with Robinson Cano's assistant with Biogenesis.
Right.
But basically you're saying, I'm not surprised and I'm not going to elaborate. The guy's guilty of sin.
Right.
Is there any other way to take
it? No, that's exactly right. And then, but that's sort of the conspiracy of silence. That's part of the, well, it's not just Major League Baseball. It's all professional athletics. There are guys who know stuff. I mean, and then they get in front of Congress and they have no idea what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's kind of goofy. I'm still bummed out that baseball players, even with these additional penalties, are still going down this road.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, that's the way I took it was, all right, he's guilty. Really good player, and I love him because he was my teammate, but he's a cheater. All right, for the first time ever, the Phoenix Suns have the number one pick in the draft. For the first time ever, could that number one pick be a University of Arizona product? We'll talk about that with Steve Rivera, AllSportsTucson.com. He'll join us next. Bickley and Murata here on this Friday from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.